It's good to see all of you here tonight and at the start of this series. So we have a lot of ground to cover, and we're going to be studying really a beautiful passage of Scripture in Jeremiah 17, so you can start turning there. Sometimes it's hard to find Jeremiah. Ask your neighbor if you need help. But we're going to be talking about this beautiful Scripture that really explains what a blessed life is, what it looks like, and how we can experience that blessing of God. And FYI, just to clear things up, in case you're wondering, if you sneeze and some random person says, God bless you, that is not a blessing, right? If you ever Google that of why we do that and teach our children to do that, it's actually really interesting and a little disturbing. But anyways, don't quit saying God bless you, because we want to bless people. But that is not how we invoke the blessing of God. No, it is through a right relationship with God. In fact, in the Hebrew, the word for blessed is this idea of happiness or contentment. It comes from the word that means to be made straight or to be made right. So in other words, it speaks of the happiness and the contentment in the life of a man or woman who is right with God. So let's pray before we dive in. So Heavenly Father, we pray that you would just open our eyes to see the wonderful things, the wonderful truths in your word, and that you would speak into our hearts and lives, Lord, and that you would have your way by the power of your word and your Holy Spirit, living, active, do that work in each one of us, Lord. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Jeremiah 17, we're going to start at verse 7. It says, blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, and whose hope is the Lord. For he, or we're going to say she tonight, since we're talking to a room full of women, for she shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green, and it will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. So the first thing we see is that we are blessed when we trust in the Lord. Now, the definition of trust in, according to the Webster's Dictionary, is to have an assured reliance on the character, the ability, the strength, or the truth of someone or something. So trust is a pretty big deal in life, isn't it? Especially when it comes to relationships with one another. We place a great value on trust. In fact, trust is the number one thing that will either make or break a relationship, whether it's in dating, in marriage, with our parents, with our children. It happens in friendships, in our relationships with our boss and our coworkers, and even with our pastors and with our leaders. The question that really is at the deep of all of our core that's begging to be asked is, can I trust you? Your character, your words, your actions, your motives. In other words, am I going to feel safe? And am I going to be accepted? And am I going to be loved? And no matter how trustworthy we all may prove ourselves to be, the reality is none of us do it perfectly all the time, do we? None of us do, because we're human beings. We're sinners. And so when trust is broken or fractured, there's then the trust issues, right, that we all deal with. But trusting in the Lord is something altogether different, ladies, because he is God. And his word tells us that he is holy and he is pure and he is perfect. In him is light and there is no darkness at all. There's no sin. There's no deceit. There's no wrong motives. He loves you and he loves me with a perfect love. And not only does he say it in his word, but then he takes the step more and he proves it to us. And you say, how does he do that? Well, he proves it through his word, right? It's living. It is active. We see it transforming our lives. We see the change that is taking place in our lives as we're growing in our walk with the Lord. It is amazing. He He also proves it time and again through his presence that we sense and we feel and he's with us, he's in us. And he does it when he manifests his power of the Holy Spirit, right? And God desires to know us more so that we will trust him more. It makes me think of the story some of you may have heard my husband share before, but it's of an elderly woman who was on her deathbed, ready to go home to be with the Lord, and she asked her pastor to come and visit her and pray with her. And he happened to notice her Bible open and all these T and P's all over the sides of the Bible. And so he asked her, you know, what does that mean, T and P? And she said, the T stands for the verses in the Word that I have tried, the things that God has spoken and said, and I've tried. And then the P is for when he's proven himself to be true. And so then she would mark the P next to it. And I just think that that is a beautiful, beautiful story of really trusting in the Lord, because he is tried and proven. Those who know your name put their trust in you, for you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. So ladies, let's look again here. It says, blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord, for she shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river. So first off, notice this tree is planted by the waters. In the original Greek, that rendering is actually transplanted. Transplanted. It's like a wild tree out in that desert terrain that is then transplanted by the rivers of water. And this is such a beautiful picture for us as children of God, that we were by nature once these wild trees, but then through faith and trust in Jesus as our Savior, we are then transplanted by our Heavenly Father, whom we know from Jesus in John 15, calls him the gardener, right? The vine dresser. He's the gardener. It then, our gardener, our Heavenly Father, transplants us by the rivers of water. And it's there in Christ that we experience abundant life. Jesus himself said in John 4:14, indeed, the water I give will become in you a spring of water welling up to eternal life. It's beautiful. In Isaiah 61, and I don't have the verse, I lost it, says that God's heart for us when he plants us is that we may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. And that's the reality of it all. It's all about Jesus. It's all for the glory of God and what he does in our lives. When you look at verse 7 again, when it says, she shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river. Now, trees get their beauty and their strength from their roots, which really are generally like unseen, right? They're usually hidden beneath the surface. But roots are crazy amazing. Their mission is one thing, and that's to keep the tree alive. Its mission is to keep it nourished and alive. And so that leads it to grow and to travel in search of water. And the roots don't let anything stand in their way. Did you know that roots can grow as big as 7 times the height of a tree? 7 times the height of a tree. And they'll blast through like the joints and the sides of all those underground pipes, and then they can tear up cement block. That happened to us when we first bought our house here years ago. In the backyard, there were just all these beautiful eucalyptus trees. It surrounded the entire backyard. It was really beautiful to look at it. My children loved it in the fall with all the leaves. But the backyard patio was literally like just jagged and lifted up everywhere because of the roots that were underneath that were trying to get to the water pipes, to the plumbing. And so they were thirsty for water. And so sadly, it was so bad and so damaged that we literally cut down the trees. Plus, I'm allergic to eucalyptus, so If you're a tree lover, I'm sorry, but I'm like really allergic to eucalyptus. But anyways, so we had to cut down the trees, and then we had to dig up the patio and remove the roots in order to save our home from damage. So roots, ladies, they're tenacious, right? They cling. They keep a firm hold and stay by the water source. And I love that God uses this analogy to describe the woman who trusts in him. She spreads out her roots by the waters. It's a beautiful picture of abiding in Christ, because abiding is active. It's like a deliberate pursuit. The word abide, different words that describe that would be to dwell in, to live in, to be near, or to be close. And so when Jesus said in John 15, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I like one of the, I think it's the Living Translation or something, that's it's like make your home in me. So it's a deliberate pursuit, but it's also a deliberate stay. And we need to understand this and catch hold of it, because the word abide also means to stay, to remain, to persevere, or to withstand. You see, trusting is abiding. Without trusting God, we don't remain in him. We slowly begin to look for security in other things and satisfaction in other things and people. And we begin trusting man and trusting worldly belief system and even trying to place our trust in ourselves. And when we do that, then our hearts begin to wander from God. And really, it's a dangerous place to be in, because the word makes it clear that our hearts can depart from the Lord, that we can abandon him. We see that picture so like strong with the history of the children of Israel and how they would trust in the Lord. We love you. We're going to follow you. We're going to serve you. And then what would they do? Then they would eventually, and I think it wasn't like an overnight thing, I think it was that they would eventually turn toward the other, you know, nations and what the other gods were doing and all of their ways, and they would turn and depart from him and trust and serve other gods, false gods. And it says actually that it like grieved the heart of God. If you read the book of Jeremiah, which it's a very hard book to read, but you just see the heart of God and the grieving. Yes, he had to chasten and he had to discipline, and times he was just angry. He was just, because it says, well, let me read it to you. Jeremiah 2:13, for my people have committed a double evil. They have abandoned me, the fountain of living water, and they've dug cisterns for themselves, cracked cisterns that can't hold water. And then he goes on to say in verse 19 of that chapter, your own evil will discipline you. Your own apostasies will reprimand you. Recognize how evil and bitter it is for you to abandon the Lord your God and to have no fear of me. So we see the heart of God. He loves his people so much. He loves you and me so much with the perfect love. And it grieves his heart when we're not trusting in him, when we begin to wander and depart from that trust. Look with me, you're all in Jeremiah 17, right? Go up to verses 5 and 6, and this is also just makes the point that I'm making. Verse 5 and 6, it starts with cursed, not blessed. Cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. There it is. That means at one time their heart was with the Lord, and then it departed. For he shall be like a shrub in the desert, and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land which is not inhabited. Another translation says it so perfectly, I think. He's the person who doesn't trust God, he's like a tumbleweed on the prairie. He lives rootless and aimless in a land where nothing grows. What a picture, right? That, you know, when you go to out in the desert and the windstorms go up and there's just the tumbleweeds and they're just flying around everywhere. But to live rootless and aimless in a land where nothing grows. Ladies, we don't want to be those women, right? No, we want to be rooted in the Lord. We want blessed lives. So let's not give up that resolve, that determination to trust the Lord at all times. And I'm sure you think of the scripture from Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, what, that we know by heart, but it starts out, trust the Lord with all your heart. So it's not just, I'm trusting the Lord. I think sometimes we think we're trusting him with all our heart until we go through things that press us and stretch us and make us, you know, doubt. When we're in trials, a lot of times then we realize, wow, do I really trust the Lord with all my heart? And I would encourage you this week to evaluate that. And when you're going through your lesson, and just be honest with the Lord. Does he have all my trust in him, or only a part of my heart? He wants our hearts, girls. And so that means not only spreading out our roots by the living waters, right, that Jesus provides, but it means sinking our roots down deep into the Word of God. So, so important. And that takes us to the parallel passage to Jeremiah 17. Anyone want to guess what it is? Psalm 1. Everybody turn there. Psalm 1. You can. Psalm 1. This is a parallel passage to Jeremiah and gives us more insight into how to be blessed by the Lord. Psalm 1, it says, "Blessed is the man or woman who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But her delight is the law of the Lord, and in his law she meditates day and night. She shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever she does shall prosper." Oh, isn't that the best? I love that psalm. I love both of these portions of scripture, just full of promise to us when we trust in him. The Living Translation says it this way: "She delights in doing everything God wants her to do, day and night is always meditating on his word and thinking about ways to follow him more closely." That's a beautiful picture of what it means to delight in the law of the Lord, in the word of God. She finds pleasure in living it out and applying it to her daily life. It's her constant supply of spiritual nourishment. And Proverbs 12:3 tells us the godly, they have deep roots. The godly have deep roots because they are clinging to Jesus. They're clinging to his word. They're clinging to the Lord God. And you know what? That's why we're here tonight. That's why we're here. And at Calvary Vista, you will always be encouraged to be women of the word and for the men to be men of the word. That's why we're doing equip classes. That's why we're all about discipleship. We want to know the word. We want to understand the word. We want to help encourage you and equip you so that you have being in the word as a part of your life. It's part of your rhythm that you're not only reading it, but you understand what does it mean to meditate on it, to chew upon it, to put it into practice and live it out in your daily life. We can't emphasize enough the fruit that comes from being in the Word of God. Amen. Your soul will be watered. Your mind will be renewed. You will trust the Lord more, and you will be blessed. Now go back to Jeremiah 17, and we want to look at two promises here that we see from the Lord for those who trust the Lord. Are you with me again? Jeremiah 17. So I'm going to read the portion again. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord, for he or she shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river. And then this is the part right here. And will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green. I love that. It will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green. Heat comes, right? When you think of, what does that mean? Heat comes. Well, it's the fiery trials of life, and they happen to all of us. Everybody experiences the trials and the tribulations of life. But this woman here, she will not fear. It doesn't mean, girls, that you will never experience fear. I mean, that's impossible, right? By nature, we are fearful beings. But I believe this is speaking of what I would call like a spirit of fear. In other words, you've maybe met women like this. Maybe you're one of them. I don't know. But you're just filled up with fear, where it dominates your thoughts and your actions. And you allow them to like control you in the difficult and fiery trials. It's when you take your eyes off of God and you're just so fixated on the surroundings, and they're so scary, and they look so big, and all the what ifs, and it's just that a spirit of fear. It controls you, and I picture that more because, I mean, again, I don't think in this life we will ever never fear. So does that make sense? So I think it's the reality of the more we trust in Him, and when we trust Him with all our heart. When the heat comes, we're not going to fear. Like, that's not going to be like the default to us. We might have a moment of fear. I think we all do when we're first impacted by a heated trial or something that's scary, something that just shakes our world. The impulse is fear, but we know what to do with that fear. Okay, we're not listening to the lies of the enemy. Instead, we're standing on the truth of God's word. So all those crazy, disturbing thoughts that maybe flood your mind when you're least expecting it, when all of a sudden you're finding yourself doubting God, did God really say, or where is God when I need him, or feeling alone? Listen, you're not alone. Satan's MO is to make us doubt God. He's done it from the beginning of time, and he's going to do it to us. So don't live in condemnation when you battle those thoughts. It's what are you going to do with the thoughts, right? Are you going to linger and live in those, or are you going to bring truth to that? You know, I think of John the Baptist, you know, the forerunner of Jesus Christ, who believed and shouted out, you know, here comes the Messiah, the Savior of the world. I'm not worthy to, you know, take off his sandal or put a sandal on. I can't remember which one it is. Anyways, you know, and then, you know, he's baptizing people and telling them to confess their sin and repent. But then when he ends up in prison and about to get his head cut off, what happens? Well, of course he starts being afraid. Who wouldn't be, right? And then the doubts come in. You can tell he is being spiritually attacked because it gets to the point where he sends two of his buddies to go ask the Lord, are you the Savior? Are you the Messiah, or should we look for someone else? That's pretty heavy. But it also gives us comfort, doesn't it? And the Lord understands just our humanity and all of that. But we don't live in condemnation. Cry out to the Lord. The woman who trusts the Lord, those feelings of fear, she learns to subside them quickly. She remembers who she is and where she's planted. She reminds herself of the voice of the Lord and his word that quenches those fears. It's Jesus saying, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I've called you by your name. You are mine. And when you pass through the waters, I'll be with you, and through the rivers they shall not overflow you. And when you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. And then I think of another verse, and I am so sorry I don't have the things here for you. It's Isaiah something. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because She trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in Yah the Lord is everlasting strength. Amen. So no matter the heat, she knows that God's in control, and her leaves will remain green and thriving. So she's not going to fear when he comes, right? And the second thing, promise here, is that she will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. Droughts come. Again, trials come. Droughts come. It is a part of life. Sometimes they last days, sometimes weeks, sometimes months, and sometimes years. You know, when trees are showing signs of drought, they actually have a name for it. They call it stress drought. And I like that. I mean, what a picture, right? It's when the leaves begin to wilt and they begin to dry up and fall off. And it says that often the leaves go from being shiny to dull. And I'm like, oh, that is a really good description that I think we can all identify when we are going through a spiritual drought. Stress drought. From shiny to dull. Can I get an amen? Has anyone been there? You just feel blah in your walk with the Lord. You read the word and you walk away going, I got nothing. There's just like this dullness in your spirit. You pray, but you feel like there's a wall between you and the Lord. It's just hard to connect emotionally with him. You might feel alone or discouraged or depressed. And you're like, what is going on? And it's very, very difficult. And you might, I think often we don't want to tell our friends or go to somebody because, well, first we're embarrassed. We feel like a failure. And then oftentimes they just don't know how to respond in a way that brings the right kind of encouragement to you. Sometimes it's one of those counselors that it hinders more than it helps. So it's in these times, ladies, that the woman who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is God, will not be anxious. Why? Why will she not be anxious? Because she knows that God allows those dry seasons to come into her life to help develop her roots to go down even deeper and deeper into him. Because that is what happens in droughts. The trees, they just go deep. They can go hundreds and hundreds of feet down. Certain types of trees. Eucalyptus, they just go this way. But a lot of them, they can go deep, deep, deep down into the earth. God wants to grow our faith, ladies. He wants us to grow in our knowledge and understanding of him. And we need to trust. When we're trusting in him, we're not going to be anxious in the sense that we know in his perfect timing, he's going to bring the rains again to saturate our soul. That we're not alone, that he is with us. In the meantime, we want to trust that he's going to sustain us. You know, I could think of a particular span of time over the years where I lost five significant people in my life, okay? My birth father, who hadn't even come into my life till I was an adult, he died early. A childhood best friend. Then my older sister died of cancer. Then my nephew died in an accident. Then my father-in-law, who was my dad, he was my dad, he passed. And then a daughter in the faith. And you know, grief is an interesting thing, isn't it? And the grief and just that emotional pain that I encountered with each loss, it brought with it a season of drought stress, where I felt that I went from shiny to dull on the inside. Maybe other people couldn't tell, but that's how I felt on the inside. And I was sad, and I was vulnerable, and it's just kind of the spiritual fog. And I have to be honest and say there were days that I did not open up the Word of God. Do I hear a gasp? Your pastor's wife sometimes does not open up the Word of God. I'm distracted. I'm sad. I don't want to. I just want to crawl up in a ball, right? That's the reality of when we go through spiritual times of drought and when we're dealing with grief and pain and trials and afflictions. All of those things affect us. But in the midst of the seasons of drought, I experienced the supernatural power and strength of God working in me and through me by the Holy Spirit. Times when I felt I had nothing to give to my family, nothing to give to Rob, nothing to give in ministry, but I needed to keep going, right? Just do the next thing. You have to keep going. And the fruit was still being produced in my life. And it actually was quite shocking to see and humbling because I knew it was just the grace of God. It was the promise of God that those roots were down deep. I was planted near the living water of Christ. And so God could still use me and he could still work through me, even in that weakness and lack that I had in my life. The root of the righteous is productive. That's Proverbs 12:12. The root of the righteous is productive. Times when I didn't have quiet time with Jesus because I was distracted in my grief or just dealing with things that needed to be dealt with, I realized that his word was still hidden in my heart, right? It's still there. And so throughout the day, God is just bringing the word up for me to meditate on and think about on. He's so faithful. Or the perfect worship song, which is also his word, would come on and speak to my heart. He's faithful in those times. And then in the times when I felt so dry and thirsty for the Lord and I just wanted the drought to end, I did realize that I didn't need to be anxious because he did love me. I didn't need to be shaken. I just needed to abide. Abide and trust and hold on to his promises because they're true. There are three things that Jesus says before he went to the cross that are so imperative and so important that he left with us. They are abide in me, abide in my word, and abide in my love. All three are so important for us to be able to trust the Lord. We have to know him, we have to know his word, and we have to know his love. And that's the heart of God for you. He wants you to trust him. He wants you to thrive. He wants you to know and see that his faithfulness in your life. He is the good gardener. He is the one who provides the living water. He is the one who has planted us in Christ. He is the one by his Spirit that brings forth fruit from our life and the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's all about him and his goodness and faithfulness. And I think I just want to leave you remembering that he wants to bless you. He wants you to experience these promises in his word, and he wants you to trust him. Amen. So let's pray. So Father, I do pray for all of us, Lord, that you would help us to trust you more, that we would examine if there's areas in our heart, in our life, where we're not fully trusting, and that you would help us. Lord, we confess we're weak. We confess, Lord, in our nature, in our humanity, we are fearful people. We can be anxious people. But Lord, we've seen the truth of your promise that as we trust you, that we won't fear and we won't be anxious. Lord, we are not going to dry up. We're not going to die. We're going to thrive in you. And I pray if there's anyone here who has not been trusting you in the sense that they are literally like trusting someone else or something else, and they are just being blown around like that tumbleweed, rootless and aimless, trying to do things on their own. Lord, I pray that tonight they would just confess that to you and allow you to just move and work in their heart and just bring comfort and strength, that they would place their faith fully back in you and that they would trust you because you are trustworthy. So help them, Lord, I pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your word, and we thank you for your blessings. And we pray all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen.